What's up, guys, and welcome to the Beers and Biceps podcast, the podcast that will teach you how to look great with your shirt off while still able to have a nice cold beer on the weekends. I'm your host, Wade Foster. Let's crack open a cold one and get into it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Beers and Biceps podcast. Hope you're all doing well. Have an amazing episode with an amazing guest on today. Good friend and world-famous transformation coach, Charlie Johnson. How's it going, buddy?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Very good. Thank you for having on the show.
Oh, mate, absolute pleasure. Really looking forward to this one. So what are we cheersing and drinking to today, buddy? What are we going with?
Red wine.
Oh, very, very nice. Very, very nice. And I've got my Bud Light as I'm watching the waistline. But as always, with the Beers and Biceps podcast, we start with the quick fire questions, you know, the questions that the people really want to know, right? So, number one, in a movie about your life, who plays you?
Oh, Ben Affleck.
Oh, mate, great shout. Great.
I don't know why it's the first person that came to my head.
I was going to say, lookalike, it's a great actor. I'm with that.
Ryan Reynolds, I get a lot of people say, we look very similar. Like, people comment me on Instagram.
So mate, take like, that, 100%.
Yeah, so I was like.
Oh, mate, good answers. Okay, number two, more of a lifestyle one. Ketchup, should it be kept in the fridge or in the cupboard?
Fridge, 100%.
Good man, good answer like yeah. That.
Cold ketchup, the sugar-free, reduced sugar one, because we're athletes, obviously. With steak is the one.
100%.
I mean, that should be with everything, and like egg whites are like as well, weird, anything.
Like ketchup isn't everything, it's the best condiment, hands down. And then the last one, three people, dead or alive, who you'd want to have for a beer and a barbecue.
Oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger, David Beckham, Adolf Hitler. I don't know why I said that. Just think of it. If he speaks English, it'd be an interesting conversation.
That's one hell of a barbecue.
Can you imagine?
I mean, to be fair, Adolf's probably got some good stories.
Hey, he'd have some advice on a few things, I'm sure, what not to do.
I didn't know. Are you a football fan?
I used to be a massive Man United fan when I was younger.
Oh, interesting. There, that's the Beckham connection, and that's the Beckham connection. I like it. I mean, Schwarzenegger is just a hands down. Like, you have to have Schwarzenegger there.
Why I like Schwarzenegger and why he's a G is that, and I have massive respect for people. And this is why I like David Beckham as well, is because Adolf Hitler doesn't really come into this, but like, why with someone who's massively successful in different areas of their life, not just ones, so they're not like a one trick pony. So like, yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger was like best bodybuilder in the world, movie star, like best movie star in the world. Governor of California, like if he could have become president, he would have become president. David Beckham obviously was like amazing at football, England captain, and like did amazing off the field in terms of like modeling and a business and like building up his profile, and he still does like insane stuff now. So that's why I tend to like people more like that. And almost the same, like in terms of bodybuilders, I like tend to be more people have a lot of other things going on about them rather than just the way they look.
Oh, I completely agree. Someone I got like with similar veins, obviously Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, mate. You know when you think like, I think sometimes like, oh, I'm really busy, I've got a lot going on. I'm like, just imagine what his life must be like.
Mate, did you hear he got COVID?
Mate, he probably just brushed off his shoulder.
Yeah, he just got, he put just a tickle. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Oh,
just a cough.
mate, good answers. I like that. I mean, Adolf's very left field, but I'm intrigued by the answer.
I'll let you know how the barbecue goes.
Yeah, he can be chef. You know, he can be sort of doing that type of thing going. So obviously today we're going to get into training, right? Getting into different training techniques, different training styles, what we feel, what we'd recommend, what we'd not recommend, and stuff like that. But one of the first things I wanted to get into about, it's one of the first things I kind of noticed about you as sort of like, you are sort of very, very high up in the fitness industry, probably one of the best coaches in the UK, hands down, if not worldwide. You get trained by a lot of people. Like you like going to different PTs as well as training partners and stuff like that. Can you give a bit of an insight into why? Because a lot of people may like, and especially me when I was younger, I was like, I know what I'm doing. I can do this, blah, 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 blah. But like, do you want to give us a bit of an insight into it?
You talk about that there, like you and your younger. That was me to a letter from 8 and 25. I was like, I've got PT qualification. I've got level 3. Like, I know what I'm talking about. Like, you, And the reality is, and we were saying before we started, is like, the more I learn, the less I feel I know. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, the faster you absorb knowledge, the quicker you can actually improve your own physique and that of your clients. So very much for myself now, I want to try every different training style, every different training technique. I want to train with all the best trainers, because every different person I train with, every different session I do with them, I will pick up something different. I will learn like a different way to combine different exercises, different rep schemes, different, I don't know, rep ranges using partial reps or whatever it might be, banding exercises different ways. There's so many different training styles and techniques and different benefits you can get out of that. And I think one of the things that I find most frustrating is that people have a very tunnel vision approach to whatever their end goal is, whether it be for muscle building or for fat loss. Like, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And for me personally, I think it's very much, there's not one theory overall that rules everything. I think it's a combination of different types of training together accumulatively that will create maximal progress, if that makes sense, because your body eventually will adapt to everything you do. Mm-hmm. Which is why I think you very much need to go through different phases of training, maybe doing more metabolic work or more hypertrophy work or more strength training work in that respect. And I think a lot of people get very stuck in their roots of almost doing like, okay, I've got to do progressive overload anyway. I've just got to get stronger. I've got to get stronger. And like, that became a massive movement in the UK because of the Trained by JP crew. And like, I very much started to get pulled down that way. And what you start to notice is that, yeah, you get stronger, but your physique doesn't necessarily improve because you end up cheating reps. You're becoming more efficient, maybe at exercises rather than actually growing more muscle tissue, if that's your only goal. So for me, like, I'm very much all about learning and learning more from other people who, like, everyone's got their own strength and weakness. And I think that's one of those things that if you go and train with different people, you can learn different snippets of knowledge. And then once you've got that knowledge, you can have that knowledge for the rest of your life. And the way I look at training in particular is like a game of skill acquisition. So the more I train with other people all the time, I'm just leveling up my skills, technique, my like exercise library, my like death set library of what like cool stuff can I do, or like regimes can I give to clients. And the more you have of that in your locker, the more potential you have with yourself and your own clients to progress, in my opinion. I don't know if you've found similar with your experiences as you've learned from when you were younger and you thought you knew everything.
Oh God, yeah. Oh mate, ridiculous. Like when you're younger, you're like, oh, I don't need this push. I don't need to pay for a PT. I know what I'm doing. I've read Men's Health. I'm clearly know exactly the way to get big and strong. But there's always a way, like, you'll never train as hard on your own as you will if someone's pushing you, like, regardless. And like, I always put an argument as well there, like, even a training partner as a friend, if you've hired someone, PT, and you've hired a good PT, like, they will push you to a different level that you don't even know you had. And trying to get to that level on your own is nigh on impossible. You'll always cut yourself short, always. So it's a big thing that I admire, that you're one of the few people that I see of a caliber of a high level athlete, high level sort of like physique guy, who still gets trained and enjoys it and loves it, which is really, really admirable. Something I wanted to touch on there, which you kind of allude to a little bit. So a question that I had written down, but actually we can bring it in earlier. What do you feel is more beneficial for you, or what was more beneficial for Genpop, between following a plan and a program itself, or kind of going in and just training?
It depends very much on the level of the quote-unquote athlete. Mm-hmm. I would say the more advanced you are, the more you have the ability to, like, use complicated phrases, auto-regulate in terms of how you feel. So if you're going in to the gym and your workout says like to back squat, but your back feels a bit funny, then you know to stay away from that. You know how to listen to your body a bit more when you're a bit more advanced, and maybe know what you need a bit more from in terms of recovery, or if you're not quite fresh to go. In my opinion, I would say probably 90% of the population should have a fairly set regime, at least in overall. Everyone should have an overall training split, like the way they try to structure their week out. And then from there, what I'd recommend is everyone has like a base workout. And if you want to swap exercises around from there, then that's cool, that's fine. But you look to try and keep the overall volume in terms of the sets and the reps the same, so you're not adding in too much or having too little. because one of the worst things I see all the time, it's very frustrating, is that people, they think doing more is better, and it's not. Better is better. And this actually comes back to what you were talking about, why I have people train me. It's the big eye-opener I've had in the last year, is how much more progress you make when there's someone like pushing you. You get an extra 10% of every session, 4 or 5 times a week over 3 months, you're going to make a lot more progress, a lot more progress. And that's really the key. And you're also going to get pushed to do the things you don't want to do. So like being straight up, naturally, I don't particularly like, I actually quite like it, but I won't push myself to do it. Like strength training. So like Diesel, you know, Physique Warehouse, I've been doing some training with, he's been awesome for like pushing me in that aspect of improving my overall strength. And the reason I'm looking to try and improve my overall strength is if I can increase, say, for example, my bench press, deadlift and squat, that will then carry over into every other exercise that I do. So if I add 20 kilos to each of those lifts, will I be able to, I don't know, hammer strength, chest press more? Like, no doubt. Like, it's a no-brainer. Like, it's where you have to go fishing sometimes for progress in other areas where you haven't necessarily been looking, is where you'll make the most progress. But for someone who's an overall beginner or beginner to intermediate, I would very much suggest you have a set overall template you work from. And then you have that maybe refreshed every 4 to 6 weeks by someone who knows what they're doing. I think having an overall structure is really, really important. It's the same when it comes to nutrition. That's the biggest mistake like people make. If you don't have a, like, what's that saying? If you fail to prepare, prepare to fail. Like if you don't actually have a plan, like what you, like if you said to me, if I was going to do a training session, what am I going to do? I'll be able to tell you straight off the top of my head. Like I can tell you what my training days are the rest of the week. I tell you everything. Mm. If you don't know what you're going to do, like you're going to be one of those people, you go into the gym, you're like, oh, I'm going to do this exercise next. You just copy everyone else. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality why people don't get progressions, because they don't have a set structure or system to take them from where they are now to where they want to be, and a bit of a thought process. Mm-hmm. As people get a little bit more advanced, you can then use the knowledge that you've learned to adapt things depending on how you feel on that day, if that makes sense.
Completely, completely. How do you feel about logbooking?
So I was big into this probably 2 to 3 years ago when I went through the progressive overload phase.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot to be said in particular from the strength side of stuff. I agree 100%. It's very much a numbers game with that. So bench, squat, deadlift, if I'm looking to improve those and I'm doing strength-based sessions, yes, I need those need to be written down. However, if I'm doing a quote-unquote metabolic session, doing like giant sets and stuff like that, mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily write all that stuff down. I think it very much depends on the individual. So I did a podcast, my podcast, with a guy called Andy Galpin. He's one of the world's leading like sports nutritionists and sports scientists. And he said an expression which was absolutely awesome, which I have to share now, which is similar. He was talking about nutrition, but this applies to training as well. Mm-hmm. And it's you have like a baker and a cook. So you have like a cook will like, he's making something, he just throws a bit of salt and it tastes a bit more, throws a bit of salt and he's like, oh yeah, that's good. A baker will have a precise recipe of like, this is exactly what we put into this in terms of ingredients to get the end result we want. And it very much depends on the person, like whose training's personality, whether some people might find writing everything down and logging everything an absolute pain in the ass and more stress in their life they don't need. But then some people like being very pernickety and writing everything down and knowing numbers. So I think it very much comes down to the individual in terms of you and your personality, whether that's best for you. But I think for the big core lifts, yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. Do I think it necessarily matters that you try and logbook how much you can bicep curl? Probably not, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, mate, completely, completely agree. So I'm very similar to you. A couple of years ago, I was all about logbooking. And I do like it, and I am an advocate, obviously, you know, strength sports. I'm an advocate of progressive overload and looking to always increase over time. But yeah, there's such a reason where like it's just not needed. Like it's just really, really not needed. And like going for a metabolic adaptation or metabolic style workout is 100% where it's just not needed. Like logbooking what triple drop set you do or something like that. It's like, nah, you don't need to worry about that type of thing. Don't need to worry about that. The way I do it, I like logging like my main lift, my main movement of each workout, and then accessory stuff I'm not too fussed about at all. That's kind of the way I look around doing it.
That's very much what I'd recommend, is in terms of like every exercise, like normally every session I would recommend some form of like a heavier compound. Mm-hmm. That would be the thing that I would keep an eye on in terms of like, this is the one we want to try and improve constantly. and the other stuff, we just do our best we can on that day, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, completely. I think, like, you hit the nail with auto-regulation. Like, I feel everyone's goal should get to a point where you can auto-regulate yourself well. Like, the amount of auto, like, if I go in and I'm like, I've got to do 5x5s and dead, and I'm like, nope, my body has not got this today, like, no way in hell. But I know I can probably do speed work or technique work to keep me still fresh, feeling good, and still progressing. Whereas if I probably went in, say you're feeling crap and you go in and you'd have like a big deadlift session, you don't hit the numbers, and like, you're setting yourself back because you're not recovered enough.
It's interesting you said this in terms of learning your body and auto-regulating. So yesterday I deadlifted for the first time in a while doing strength sessions.
I saw it pop up. I was like, go on, Charlie, 260. Go on, mate.
I had to turn up. But again, I nearly bottled it because, like, I was like, oh, I woke up that day, I was like, oh, my hip feels a bit funny, my back feels a bit funny. And I was like, but then, like, quote unquote, auto regulating, I have enough experience. So I was like, okay, I think the hip issue is my glutes are tight. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of glute activation work, not glute stretching. And that actually dropped out a lot of the pressure. But the moral of the story is that I actually, because I know for me, like, for my body weight and size, deadlifting is, I'm stronger than that than most exercises. So it has a very heavy effect on my nervous system, me feeling like I've been hit by a bus. Mm-hmm. So I intentionally took today, the day after deadlifting, as a rest day, because I knew my recovery would be very heavily impacted. So I'm better off taking a rest day today, the day after, something like that, and then going again tomorrow with, as we've spoken about before, that the most important thing to actually focus on that a lot of people don't think about is recovery, because it's not how hard you can train, it's always how hard you can recover, because you can't keep digging a bigger hole because you'll never get out of it, if that makes sense.
Oh, completely. Yeah, that recovery is the aspect that is probably the most important that no one thinks about.
Yeah.
It's like, I can train 6 days a week. Why are you training 6 days a week? I train 14 days a week, or like 14 times a week. Okay. Are you making any progress? Like you're trying to throw more and more and more at it, when actually, if you tailed it back to maybe 4 sessions a week, you could actually have better results. So understanding recovery is bloody huge, but something you only get with experience, and you only get when you actually look to learn. But as we were talking about before we got on the podcast, you and I were going through the amount of different training styles we've done. How many do you think you've been through?
If you name it, I've probably tried it. So I've done 2-a-day training sessions. I've done Milos Sarchev's camps. I've done his training. I've done
which is giant sets.
Yeah. I've done Dorian Yates' stuff. I've done fortitude training. I've done progressive overload, DC training. I've done, if you name it, I've probably done it.
Do you have Y3T?
I think when I was like 17, I probably saw it like Flex magazine.
Old stuff. Yeah. So obviously the premise of this show is that, so everyone can obviously understand that there's a lot of different training styles out there. And one thing we're going to do today, Charlie's, like you said, been there, done that, got the t-shirt on the majority of these. So we're going to just have a little breakdown of a couple of them and discuss pros, cons, why we would, why we wouldn't. I think the one that we were talking about most before was Dr. Scott Stevenson's Fortitude. So do you want to give a little bit of a lowdown of that, and kind of like what you like about it, what it is and stuff like that?
So fortitude training is awesome. So in terms of like, for an actual end result, if your goal is purely to build your physique in a very efficient manner, I think is phenomenal. So essentially fortitude training, there's like 3 tiers to it, and it is very, very complex. So if you, I'm probably going to bastardize this very heavily on this podcast, so I apologize, Scott. So if anyone wants to know more, go and download his ebook on it. But essentially it's 4 training days a week, 2 of which of those days will be like pump days, where basically you're doing like muscle rounds. So a muscle round is essentially where you're going to be taking, say, a weight you can normally do for like 14 to 15 reps to 24 reps by doing something like 6 sets of 4 reps, but with like a 10-second rest between each set, if that makes sense. So for example, we're going to do a chest press machine. We would do 4 reps, take a 10-second rest, and we do another 4 reps, and we repeat that 6 times. And on the last set of 6, you go to absolute failure, and that is muscle round. So on these pump days, you'd basically do that for pretty much every body part. Now, there would be 2 days like that a week, and there would be 2 days a week, which would be like loading days. And I think off the top of my head, I haven't looked at this for a while, there's an upper body loading day and there's a lower body loading day. And when you're doing the upper body loading day, you also train some lower body, but it's more pump stuff. And when you do lower body, it would be upper body pump stuff. Mm-hmm. So that way you're getting a really high training frequency on every body part, but the volume in each session for each like exercise will be fairly low, but it'll be balls out to the wall like failure. So these are sessions you need to go like deep intensity wise. Mm-hmm. The reason, there's a couple of things with this. So I'm a massive fan in terms of this. If you're serious, you want to get results as fast as possible. I'll actually suggest this is I think this is the best strategy in terms of programming to actually get there, because you've got high training frequency, you've got intensity, you've got heavy loading, and you've also got metabolic work in there as well. So we have every aspect covered in terms of frequency, strength training, metabolic work. But the issue that I personally find with it is I don't particularly like, the training is very difficult to do with anyone else. And because you can't be like, oh, wait, do you want to go and train? I'm doing a muscle round day of like everything, like about six different exercises. You'll be like, what the fuck are you doing? And then it also becomes difficult when it comes to the aspect of like actually in the gym, because a lot of the exercises will be like zigzag sets where you're jumping. So we'll do, as an example, one set on a like a chest press, and we'll do one set on a row, but we'll take a minute rest between, and we'll do that three times. So you're trying to like almost do supersets with a rest between the sets and do a lot of work like that. So that can make it a little bit difficult to do if it's in a busy gym as well. And I find personally, it's not necessarily my cup of tea in terms of the most enjoyable style of training. Is it the most effective? In terms of purely building muscle, I think it probably is, to be honest with you. But it's incredibly hard. It has to be incredibly methodological, if that's a word. You have to basically be very analytical in terms of what you're doing. Look to progressively overload the exercises you need to. And then you also need to really focus on recovery. Where I do think Fortitude training is incredible and is awesome, and we spoke about this before the podcast, is that the muscle round days are insane if you're in a situation where you're traveling a lot. So if, for example, like the start of this year, before COVID ruined everyone's lives and we couldn't go anywhere and like all fun and games was over, I was doing a lot of traveling. I spent about 3 weeks traveling around the US. So a lot of the sessions I was doing there were like muscle rounds, because I was in weird gyms, my routines were all over the show. I had like a million different time zones going on. My body didn't know what the hell was happening. So I was doing a lot of muscle round sessions, and that works really well to train the entire body, get some metabolic work going and not causing too much damage in your nervous system. So if for me, like that is an awesome way to train when you're traveling, or if you're very busy, it's very time efficient and you can do it with very limited equipment. So that works great. I would suggest for most people, unless you're advanced or you take this very seriously, fortitude training probably isn't for you. I don't know if that's something you would agree with, Wade.
Oh, mate, I love it. Like, Dr. Scott is my, like, idol.
He's a G, yeah.
Like, whenever I saw you went to his camp, I was like, I could not be more jealous right now. I was like, I didn't see it happen. I didn't see it. I was like, it was in Scotland, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in Edinburgh.
Yeah. Yeah, so gutted. Like Chris knows, he's like, and Chris met him in Tampa, I think. I took a photo. I was like, you, like I love Dr. Scott, and like I like Fortitude. I really, really like Fortitude. But I agree with everything you said. It's very complicated. Like you have to have a good level of training knowledge. Scott, he's got like, I think one or at least a couple of PhDs. He's a very smart guy, very science
based. Yeah, he's genius.
So even understanding his ebook is quite difficult.
Yeah, like, it's very complex.
Yeah. It's a training program that's got three tiers that you can advance and go forward through. You can go back to, depending on how you feel, very auto-regulatory style and stuff like that. I absolutely love it. It's very difficult to do. Like in gen pop circumstances, gen pop gyms, very difficult to do. If you're going to be an elite level bodybuilder, or if I was going to do maybe a 12 to 16 week off season and really gun for it, I'd 100% do Fortitude. But otherwise I would try and avoid it. It's just too complex. It's just too complex for a lot of people.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that. I think, if you want to give it a go, I'd 100% recommend trying it. I'd recommend trying the muscle round session for anyone who's traveling. But I would suggest, as you said, like when I first looked at it, I was like, what on earth is this? Like it's very out there, but when you listen to the research and the science behind it, there is no flaw in the argument.
Oh, yes, that's saying it 100%. 100%. I couldn't agree more. And like, that's one of the reasons why I love him. It's like, that's a bloody great training program. It's just really fucking complicated, mate. like that's it. But I think that's a good place to start with that. So, because a lot of people don't know Fortitude, it's very under the radar.
This is the thing with Scott. Scott is an amazing trainer, genius, but he's not a marketer, which is a shame because more people should know about him and this, which is why people who do know about him tend to have a bit of a cult following about him, because he's a bit of an OG of the game.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Then I want to throw questions in with you. So you've obviously trained with Milos.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So if anyone doesn't understand, Milos Sarkov is an incredibly big bodybuilder. 80s, 90s?
Yeah, I think he's got the record for the most pro shows.
Yeah. Incredible physique. He's known as the mind in bodybuilding terms. Obviously, he's just smart ass as well. His training style is all giant sets, right? Which is complete opposite to the DC trained by JP Dorian Yates style high intensity workouts. You've done both, right? And both to a good level, and both with that. What are your thoughts on comparing kind of the two with results ish, but also like enjoyment?
So this is going to probably ruffle a few feathers. The worst, I think, is the Dorian Yates HIIT high intensity training.
You say the worst?
The worst. So yeah. Like I've trained with Dorian 4 or 5 times. I've trained with some of his trainers and stuff and every session, I actually mean, with all due respect, I trained with Dorian, I like pushed as hard as I could. There wasn't enough volume. I could have trained, I needed to do like a bit more volume, mm-hmm. which people may say that's ridiculous. And I was like, if you watch the YouTube video, you're going to have a look. Like I wanted to keep going. And also the two times I've trained legs with him twice, both times I ended up getting minor injuries or like pulling something, because this is the issue that I see with that style of training. Unless you're very genetically gifted, you cannot push yourself to as heavy as weight as possible as you can for 6 to 8 reps, like every session, because you are going to get to the point where something is going to ping. Because like, for example, with myself, biomechanically, I have a very flat foot on one side. So I have a lot of issues going on there, which causes some problems coming up the chain. So for me, for example, to go in and do a leg press, I think I like stacked out the leg press and however many plates it was. I got Dorian Yates there, who's like, do you think you could do another one? I'm like, yeah, fuck it, let's go. Like, put 2 more on, let's go. And then end up pulling my hamstring, like buggering my knee a bit. And like, it's one of those things that you have to, and I'm saying it's a bit corny that I say, is like one set won't make your physique, but it could break your physique. And even he ultimately will tell you that if he trained a bit smarter, he wouldn't have got injured as much and he would have lasted way longer. And I think that's the reality, is you have to listen to your body. I think some people are very bulletproof in terms of the way they're built. They can get away with training like that. Personally, I know that I'm a bit of a China doll with some things like that, so that wouldn't really suit my physique type. And plus, I liked a bit more volume, so that doesn't necessarily float my boat in terms of that side of things. When you come to Milos' style of training, so I did his training camp last year, which I think was 3 days long. I don't think I've ever been so tired at the end of the 3 days. Like we were doing like 8 exercises back to back. And there was a video on like IGTV. I think I put my IGTV of like Milos like had me on like a chest press, like with a barbell doing like 4 reps. And he was like, make it harder. And I was like, I can't fucking make it harder. I was like literally like shaking. He basically like dropped it on me with his like sinister laugh, like smiling whilst he fucks you up. And that for me in terms of training is insane. I think it is probably like one of the most effective ways to build muscle and particularly more of an aesthetic physique. Really? However, there's a couple of things with this. Realistically, how practical is it to go into the gym and do 4 to 5 exercises back to back?
Oh, you can't fucking do it. Like, there's no way you could do it.
And also it's very different when you've got someone like Milos breathing down your neck, like pushing you with it. Which again comes back to what we were talking about earlier, why I like people training you, because you'll get way more out of the session. So similar with Milos' style of training, actually, then like say like what Ben Pekulski does in MI40. I've trained with one of their trainers over there, Liani, in January. And like their style of training is awesome as well, with very slow reps, like perfect form. And I think that's the optimal way to build muscle and not get injuries. But again, realistically, you doing on that on your own is not inherently practical, I don't think. So I think one of those things we have to look at with everything is like, what's optimal and like what's most practical that you're actually going to be able to stick to and enjoy. Like, and what you can stick to and enjoy is what will get you the best results. So that being said, like Milos style training is awesome. It's something I'd recommend if you can do it, and I would definitely try it. And it works really well. The train by JP Progressive Overload, that style of training is almost like an amalgamation, a little bit of those two. And it's very much, that's basically almost Dr. Scott's approach, but it's been sort of bastardized to a degree. I think that is a very good way to train and it works well. But I think it can lead to certain body parts coming neglected when you are slightly more advanced, like arms and shoulders, as an example, would be two body parts I would say that can get neglected slightly with that, with people doing like push-pull legs and upper-lower splits. So ultimately, it comes down to the individual and what your level is, where you are now, your body type, what your specific goals are, and what's going to fit you best. But the best advice I would always give to everyone is to try everything and then find what suits you best and what gets you the most progress. Not necessarily what's the most they're not the easiest. Something that was very interesting, which I actually really enjoyed, but it's very difficult time-wise, I did find it was hard, was, and again, I think it's very, 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 very productive, and it's similar to like Milos' style, is doing training twice a day. So I actually thoroughly enjoyed doing that. I did it for about 6 to 8 weeks last year when I was like super shredded, and I was like, basically I was using an excuse to eat more because I was like really lean, and I was like, how can I stay super lean and then get to eat post-workout and pre-workout twice? I was like, ah, let's train twice a day. This is genius. So that was really good. But after 6 to 8 weeks, like 5 days a week training twice a day, by the end of it, like, I don't want to see the inside of the gym anymore. I've had enough. Like, it becomes like, I love training more than anything, but it comes to something like too much of a good thing sometimes. 100%. And it very much got to that point, and I was like, let's take that down. But it's one of those things that, like, if you want to try that type of training, what I would suggest you do, so this is what I did. I had, say, like for a normal 5 day split before, I was training 5 days a week. And what I then progressed that into was that two of those 5 days a week, I would train twice a day. And then that then progressed probably after about 4 weeks to, at that 5 day training split, I would train 4 days a week, twice a day. And I think I ended up going up to like 6 days a week, twice a day. Or I do like 3 days on, twice a day, 1 day off, sort of auto-regulating, quote unquote. That I found worked really, really well for me, to be honest with you. So to give you an idea, for example, of how that worked, and have a quick look now. So the initial split I actually started with, for example, I would do training twice a day, twice a week. On a Monday, I would do back and calves, which back would be like a rowing focus session. And then Tuesday, I'd train twice that day. I'd do shoulders and arms in the morning. And in the evening, I'd do legs, but it'd only be like isolation work, like extensions, curls, and some lunges. I would take Wednesday off. Thursday morning, I would train very heavy legs, so doing like big compounds. And then that evening, I'd do arms and shoulders. Friday, I would do chest and calves. Saturday, I would do back, but I would do pull down, pull over, focus, like different movement patterns. Mm-hmm. And then I would take Sunday off. So that's a cool split that I'd recommend for people to maybe start out with if they're looking for somewhere to try some twice a day training. It's hard and very time consuming, but it's one of those things you have to try things and see if it can fit you and your schedule. But it was fun. I'm all about trying different stuff and see what works for you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, completely. Did you train, did you shorten your sessions?
About
45 minutes, or was it?
Yeah, so they were very, very like quick. Well, not quick, they were 45 minutes like in bang. Yeah. Particularly like things like shoulders and arms with very high, it'd be more like volume-y pump stuff. All the sessions I'll try and keep under 60 minutes.
I did twice a day, and yeah, very similar, like in try and get in and out within 45 minutes, just sort of like absolutely smash it and get out and get food in and recover. Interesting, mate, you've got some interesting philosophies. I could pick your brain, could pick your brains all day with this. Where would you, to kind of like sometimes help people out, where would you go, or what would you suggest for, obviously, potentially, like a lot of people don't have the time to try everything. They're not in the fitness industry like you and I, and they may not have the knowledge or the time to try everything. What would you suggest potentially is a good way for people to start, like a good program to go, right, this will stick to this, or stick to this type of thing, or this type of rotation?
Best training split and most effective for a I'm probably going to say 80% of people in terms of time efficiency and results, in my opinion, would be like an upper lower training split. Mm-hmm. 2 days on, 1 day off. So for example, Monday you do upper bodies, you would do like, I don't know, chest, do like 1 or 2 exercises for chest, shoulders, back, arms. Next day, Tuesday, we do legs, lower body. Wednesday, rest or do cardio. Thursday, repeat upper body. Mm-hmm. Friday, do legs. And what I would do is I'd almost rotate the priorities of maybe the upper sessions and the lower sessions. So if you're doing 2 sessions of each a week, as an example, I would make one of the leg sessions maybe more hamstring glute dominant, and then more the other leg session more quad dominant. And the same with the upper session, I'd make one maybe more chest dominant, maybe one more shoulder dominant in terms of like the pushing movement I would choose. Mm-hmm. I would say that for most people, it's the most effective bang for your buck you're going to get, because you're going to have a high amount of training frequency across a muscle across the week, which will create enough volume over the week. Whereas most people will say, for example, that we'll do, let's go and let's do chest on Monday. They'll do like, I don't know, do 15 sets or whatever. You can do 15 sets over a week if you do it split over 2 sessions. So you do 15 is an odd number. So let's do 16. So we can do, say, for example, 8 sets across 2 sessions instead of doing 16 sets in 1 session. Over the week, that equates to the same amount. But what you're actually getting in there is more benefit, because you're going to have higher training frequency, which means you're going to have more opportunity to train that muscle, improve that skill in terms of training, increase the amount of muscle damage, the opportunities to break that muscle down and then also repair it. So that would probably be my opinion in terms of where most people should start. Mm-hmm. If you're more restricted on time than that, I would then scale it back more and go to like a full body training split, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, go for bigger compound exercises, 2-3 sets, and you get huge amounts of progress. I've actually thought about doing that, to be fair, when I next try and put on some muscle mass, if I can ever can do that. Just focus on 3 sessions a week and just focus on like the main compound list and just try and incrementally push them up.
You'll get huge. I love the fact we're very much on the same wavelength here, which is good. Like, I have played for so long. Like, I love 4 days. I will very unlikely ever train more than 4 days a week again. I will ever go more than upper lower split, because I just really, really enjoy it. I really, really like it. I get the recovery I need in. The sessions are how I like and stuff like that. And this is what I program most clients with. But I've really been toying with dropping down to 3-4 body.
I have never, I don't know if I've ever really even done it, to be fair.
No, I've not. That's one thing I've not done.
So I actually noticed my body does better, like, I've noticed this a lot. My issue, and this is what, again, we come back to, so the fortitude training, I know in my head, logically, that is the most productive way probably for me to improve my physique. Mm-hmm. However, it's not the most enjoyable for me, so that's why I don't really do it. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the same in terms of training 3 days a week or even 4 days a week. I know would be better for me than what I pretty much do now is normally 5. Because I notice with me, what I tend to overtrain. And then when I come to the point of actually like taking some rest, I actually improve more when I've had like, I remember earlier in the year, I was traveling a lot and training really, really hard. And I was just like smashed. And I remember I've been through like 6 different time zones in about 4 weeks. And I'd got to Thailand and I was like, I just feel ruined. And I took 4 to 5 days off and my body improved so much in terms of composition just from resting. And like a lot of the metrics I look at as well every week are like things like blood pressure. So I notice, for example, my blood pressure will start to creep as I get run down. And if I take 4 days off, my blood pressure will drop a lot because my body starts to, a nervous system starts to like revitalize, which is not getting abused from training all the time.
Oh, mate, completely, completely. I think one thing that I think I've spoken with you as well, I've spoken with a lot of people use the gym as a stress reliever.
Yeah, mate, 100%.
Going down to 3 days a week, it'd be hard, it'd be really, really hard. Where like it may potentially benefit growth, may not, you don't know till you try it. But it's only 3 days a week you can go to your stress reliever. You can go to your happy place, safe place, whatever it is. So I think it's very difficult for a lot. Probably why I haven't done it, and probably a very similar reason why you haven't done it either. Like, you like training. So yeah, exactly. Dude, I know you are a very, very busy man and I could pick your brain all days on training. But I want to thank you very much for coming on the podcast. For people who've obviously loved your information and want to find out more about you, more about what you're doing, where can they find you?
So a few places. So if you're into podcasts, which I presume you are, you listen to this, check out my podcast, The Shredder Show. So we've got loads of information to help you in terms of training, nutrition, education like that. We've recently had Wade on as a guest, so check that out. And then I would also check out myself on Instagrams at Charlie Johnson Fitness, YouTube at Charlie Johnson Fitness. And if you need any help getting in shape, my main program is the Shred Nate program. So check that out. It's just www.shrednate.com.
It is an exceptionally good, world famous program. So be sure to check it out, guys. Right. Thank you very much for listening.
Pleasure, dude. Thank you very much.
Peace.
Bye.
Guys, before we go, I just want to say thanks. Thanks for spending the last hour or so with me. I hope you've learned something, but more importantly, I hope you had fun. If you want to get more tips and tricks on how to look great with your shirt off while still enjoying that ice cold beer on the weekend, then go and click the link in the description and join my free Facebook group for all up-to-date information. Guys, I appreciate you for being here, and I'll catch you next time.